Lord, do it for me.
Yes, Lord.
That's our prayer, amen. God would do it, and if he can't do it, it just can't be done, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We are preparing for Thanksgiving, and it should be something that we do automatic, but I think some folks have a problem with it. But if you can just think about the goodness of God, pull your faders back. If you can just think on the mercy of God, testing. Okay. I want to invite your attention to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Very familiar psalm, and yet the more you go into it, the more you reflect on what God is doing, the more powerful it becomes in your life. Praise is not something that necessarily we do for ourselves. It's what we do for God. If you think about it, the only possible thing that you can give God is your praise. And even with the breath that you praise him with, he had to give that to you. You ever think about that? Psalm 100, as we invite your attention there, we'll be talking about the praise invitation. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. A praise invitation. That's what we're going to talk about today. You may be seated. God, we thank you again for blessing us to enter into the house of worship. Bless us now as we attempt to bring your word, that your word indeed would be a light unto our pathway and a lamp unto our feet, that it might guide and direct us in the way of truth. Teach us, help us, and more importantly, bless us that we might become a blessing. We can let our light shine for all to see. I pray in Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen and amen. Again, we ask that you would continue to pray for the bereaved families, the Austin, Woodruff, and Clark family. Pray for them. Pray, of course, for the Bennett family and their loss. Pray for those that are hospitalized. And we welcome those online that perhaps you're going through a time of struggle, turmoil in your own life, but just know that God made one irrevocable promise: I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you come to know him, God promises that he'll always be with you. Amen. Amen. Leah had a little song on my heart. I don't know whether the folks is up to it. They're out there, but I want to know if y'all got, did y'all bring some? Now, I didn't say singing, I said singing. Did y'all bring some singing? Now, the male chorus, they blessed us, amen. They blessed our hearts. But this little song, there are some things, put your hands together. I may not know, you know it. There are some places I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing. some folk don't know it, but God is real. He's real. If you haven't met him, you need to know him. You need to meet him, because you'll never meet anybody like Jesus. You never find a friend like Jesus. He's the greatest friend that you'll ever know, because he loves you. What is praise? What is praise? It is honor. It's recognition. It is a tribute. It is a celebration. All of those things wrapped up into one. That's what we do when we praise God. God invites people to praise him. What I love about this psalm is that it is offering praise to God. It's one of those psalms, what you call a happy song. Everybody like a happy song? Like a happy song. We want to give thanks. We want to be jubilant. And this song encourages you and I to do that. But more importantly, it invites everybody. How many of y'all have ever gotten an invitation? Maybe it's a graduation, a wedding, and you will put on your fine clothes because you don't want to look awkward. So you'll try to dress up, attend that invitation. God Almighty says, come as you are. Charlotte Elliott, when she wrote that song, Just As I Am, she wrote it realizing that there's not a whole lot that you have to do except give God praise. That's why we're here today. We are here specifically to give God praise. Now, I don't know what was on your mind when you drove up in the parking lot this morning. Don't know what you were thinking about. Don't know what you were contemplating. But when you got on the lot, you should have felt the presence of God. So whatever you had in mind other than praising God, you empty that out and give God some praise. Give God some praise, amen, because he's certainly worthy of all our praises. When we think about this psalm, it is a unique psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. This is a unique song. How is it unique? It is given to all the nations. All the nations on the planet are invited to give God praise. Some of you may not realize it, but the universe has no problem giving God praise. The stars and the galaxies in space, they give God praise every day. They say, God, I'm going to give you my best because you gave me my being. The psalm is going to get into that. It's a unique song, and it's an inclusive song. It is telling us that everybody ought to praise God. Even those that doubt him, your very doubt, the fact that you can think, you have your mental faculties, that was given you by God. And for that reason, you ought to praise him. It's all inclusive, everybody. Everybody. The thing I like about it, that some folks can't praise him like everybody else. You don't have that eloquent voice. Amen. You might be like Reverend Gibbons. You couldn't carry the tune. Even if you put it in a bucket. But it doesn't ask you to have a melody or a rhyme or necessarily a musical note. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, all inclusive. Isn't that something? The folks that you don't even like, God loves. People that you wouldn't even give the time of day, God says, I love them also, and I want them to praise me. And what I love about it, that this psalm is not really limited to one generation. It wasn't just for the people of that day, but it's for the people of all times, giving God praise. We're in a season now, what we call Thanksgiving, and it takes that reminder to let people know that you ought to always praise him, but especially once a year, you ought to have enough inside of you and say, well, I think I'm going to give God praise at least once a year. But then folks have a problem with that. I don't know, but that's just them. Amen. That's just them. It's all inclusive. But secondly, it's everyone's song. In doing some research and investigation, they don't know who the writer of the psalm is. They think it was written in post-Babylon. For those of you that are Bible scholars, that's after the children of Israel came back into the land of promise. They think, but then again, they don't know. It came from somebody. Somebody wrote it. But guess what? Everybody can sing it. You know, when you have a song that is so universal, when you have a song that expresses itself in many languages all across the world, that ought to be sung. How many of y'all, and some of y'all wasn't born at this time, so I'm not going to even ask you. 1971, Coca-Cola came out with a slogan, became a national billboard hit. I'd love to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. You remember that? Coca-Cola sold millions of bottles of Coke while you were thinking about it. They believed in a happy song, but the fact is, drinking a Coca-Cola won't change your circumstances. It might be something that quenches your thirst for the moment, but it cannot renew you. It cannot give you strength. But when you sing this song, when you focus on what God is doing and what he has done through this song, it'll give you joy. And you don't have to sing in perfect harmony. I love that. I love that. You can just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Isn't that good? Give the Lord a hand clap. You also find the uniqueness of the song. It's all inclusive and it's everybody's song, but also it is totally devoted to praise. Some of the psalms that you will read, the psalmist is addressing his enemies and telling God what I want you to do to my enemy. It's either talking about a problem or a situation. Even the 23rd Psalm, it refers to being in the presence of enemies, not this psalm. Not this song. And for that reason, we can think of this song as being celestial. We can think of this psalm as being one that is eternal, because one day there will be no negativity. One day there will be no sin. Let me come down your street. One day there will be no folk gossiping on everybody else. Can I talk to you? There will be nobody cussing each other out. Amen. Are y'all here? It will be a day where all that's on the minds of people, not he said, she said, they said, but what God said. It will reflect on the goodness of God. I feel like preaching now. Because when you think about his mercy, when you think about all that he has done, you cannot help but give God thanks. We're here today to celebrate and to prepare our hearts for that day of celebration. I know you're going to sit down and eat your turkey. I'll eat my plant-based one. But we want to enjoy the time together with family, but never neglect the opportunity to give God thanks because he's been so good. Let's break this psalm down. Let's look at it. And why should we give God what he wants in praise? Why is it that sometimes when we come to church, we come with mixed motives? Boy, it got quiet in here. We'll praise God, but we also will do some other things. We're going to show for what we got on you. Paying attention to ourselves. This song is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about anyone else. It's about the goodness of God. He invites us to come in and to make that joyful noise unto him. And in the Hebrew language, when it talked about giving a shout, this is actually talking about giving a shout. And you know what it means in the Hebrew to give a shout? It means give a shout. That's very deep, isn't it? But some people have problems making a joyful noise in church. You get too loud, folk gonna look at you. You get real loud, they're gonna bring out a fan and try to fan you. Heard one preacher say, why are you trying to put out the fire when God lit it? It's funny that people don't want to get jubilant except when they're in a football game. By the way, UVA won yesterday. And they'll give a shout when you're playing basketball, when you score a point, or when you run a touchdown. But what about it when Jesus rose again and conquered death? And the Bible says, give a shout. Give God glory. Give him honor because he is worthy. The other Sunday we were talking about the purpose for cheerleaders. The purpose for cheerleaders. They're not on the field, but they're in the game as well because they cheer the team on. They're saying, hey, you can do it. When we are telling God is, Lord, you did it, not you're going to do it, but you've already done what you said you would do. That's why we give God thanks and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This psalm, I don't know the person who wrote it, but they certainly had God on their mind. You could tell that they had watched God. They had observed his ways. They knew something about the Lord. Folks that don't know God, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. People that don't know God can't really praise him. But I believe that we've got a few people in here that know not only what God can do, but what God has done. Some of you know that he brought you from a mighty long way. You may not be what you ought to be, but thank God you're not what you used to be. That's why we praise him. That's why we praise him. Amen. And I, for one, I like noise. I like noise. Amen. I like noise. If you were around the table at the Coleman house, you had to make some noise. Amen. Don't take all that rice. And Freddie, we had to holler if you wanted something. Don't get that last biscuit. And what I'm saying is that the house of God should be a happy house. We got enough problems out there. Enough misery out there. In here, you ought to have some joy. You ought to come in with your mind renewed and your heart fixed on praising God. Make a joyful noise. That's what God wants. He wants us to be jubilant. Some of you have gone through crisis in your life. Sickness. Not once, not twice, some of you facing it three times. But because you are jubilant, because you have that joyous spirit, you know deep down on the inside that the same God that kept you the first time and the second time will keep you every time. Is anybody can give that testimony? Make a joyful noise. That's what God wants. That's what he wants. But not only that, he wants us to serve him with gladness. You know, you serve the Lord with gladness, not with a long face. I've been tempted to put a mirror up here. I know you looked at yourself when you were in the restroom and you kind of prepped and did what you did, but sometime when you get in here, you... Now, I don't have any problem with that if you got a tummy ache. I don't have any problem with that if you got a migraine. But if you just mad at somebody, you got to get past that. I start to say, touch somebody, tell them, no, don't touch anybody. Leave them alone. Serve the Lord with gladness. How in the the world are you going to be out here and giving a testimony of God's goodness if you don't have some gladness? Got to be joyful. I get it from my grandpa, Jimmy. And Miss Cabler, he was always joyful. He would joke about anything. He'd make a joke about anything. Because he was determined he was not going to let life get the best of him. And sometimes when you don't share in that gladness in serving the Lord, you're letting circumstances get the best of you. You're letting stuff rule over you. When God is your supreme ruler. And people ask you, what you doing? You tell them, I'm serving God. What you doing? y'all like that? Serve the Lord with gladness. This is a very serious psalm, but it's also one that's joyful. You are privileged to give God your best. Whether you're on the job working for an employer, whether you're self-employed and you're out there, you must maintain the image of what God has placed in you. I'm going to do my very best. That's going to be my attitude, because when I needed something in my life, God gave me his very best. Amen. Let me ask you this. Do you have anything as a gift from God that is flawed or imperfect? If you look at it, it's perfect. And if God gave you perfection, give him your best. Give him your all. That's what this song is all about. It's a happy song. But not only that, it's talking about knowing him. Everybody say knowing him. Knowing him. What does it tell us in this song that we ought to know about God? The first thing it says, know that he is God. You might think you're the boss, but you ain't God. Know that he is God, acknowledging his might, acknowledging his power. Some may ask, how do I know that he is God? The simple question is, who else would do these things for you? Who else would give you life? What else can give you breath? What can cause your golden moments to roll on just a little while longer? Nobody but Jesus. Your alarm clock may have sounded this morning, but it didn't wake you up. God gave you that ability. A whole lot of folk, amen, they had to sit there on their bed and could not get up because of the fact they didn't have the strength. But when the Lord strengthens you, when God gives you that ability, you ought to praise him. Now, some of y'all old enough now, you old enough now, you past 65. No, nobody need to tell you, get on your knees, because amen, when you get up in the morning, you don't know what's going to work and what ain't going to work. So the first thing you do is get on your knees and figure it out. Hey, do I have some witnesses? And for those of you that you say, well, oh, it don't take all that. just wait. You're going to get there. Just wait. Your day is coming. Amen. I never heard of such stuff as rheumatism and arthritis and... You know, when you were younger, you would go to bed. Can I talk, Miss Maddie? Can I talk a little bit? When you were younger, you go to bed and you put on, you know, maybe a little cologne and everything. Now you put on Bengay. you put on Aspa cream and everything else. You got to sleep with a mask on. But God is good. Know that the Lord, he is God. Second part of that, it is he that hath made us. Some of you complain about what God added to your life. He knew what he was doing. Well, if he knew what he was doing, why did he put all of these storms and trials and tribulation in my life? That's because you're looking at the tribulation. You're not looking at the tribulator. God will never put more on you than what he'll put in you. I got the verse to prove it. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If God puts something on you, he's got to first put the power in you to endure it. As a matter of fact, the fact that you are here today, able to give God praise, sitting in the seat that you're in, the devil said you are not going to make it. And guess what? You made it. Why? Because the Lord is your maker. He is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You ought to clap your hands to that. Amen. So we know that he is God. We know that he created us. We know that it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. That is what we do. But then in the giving of thanks, as I prepare to close, you've got to also make sure that you know how to enter God's presence. This psalm gives you that format to where you can go in and say, Lord, I may not be a very special person. I may not have all of these gifts and talents, but I come before you and I come to give you thanks. What does it say to do? Enter God's presence. Please note from the psalm that he's not in the temple. He's not in the temple. Some of them would use this in preparation of going back to the temple that was rebuilt after Babylon, but a whole lot of folks didn't make it to the temple because they were in other lands. Y'all missed it. Greg, they missed it. Go back to verse 1. It says, praise the Lord, or make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You don't have to go to the temple. There are folks listening to Crossroad, but they're not in Crossroad, but you're out there. I'm going to wave at you. Because God's goodness has touched them right where they are. Every place on this planet ought to feel the presence of God Almighty. Every place, every corner. Let me tell you something. If the devil is there, why should God be excluded? Because the Lord made everything. And he wants the praise from everything that exists, from the tiniest atom to the greatest planet. God wants it to give him praise and glory because of who he is. He's God Almighty. Enter his presence. Some people are afraid to get in the presence of God because they think, well, you know, God is a holy God and I'm holy. He knows that. He knows that. But he also knows that you're going to be changed. See, we think we're going to somehow change. You cannot change God. You cannot change God. But if you get close enough, it's going to change you. You're going to be transformed. That's what God's fire does. That's what his purifying fire does. How many of y'all remember the old? Now, I got to remember I'm talking to young folk. They don't. All they know is air conditioning, heat pumps, and all this kind of stuff. But how many of y'all remember that old tin stove that we used to have there? Oh, I got some old folk in there. All right. I got some old folk. You were scared to get too close. Am I right, Bernard? Because if you got too close, you know, you and that thing was just made of tin, and when it get red, it's telling you it's hot. You start off, the thing is blue, all right? But when you put some wood or coal in it, it gets red, but it's real thin. And the fire that's in that stove will light you up. I remember my brother, one time he's sitting there, he's dozing off to sleep. And he didn't notice it, but I watched as his pant legs started smoking. I said, now, he gonna get it in a minute. Sure enough, that pant leg started moving. Don't be afraid to get close to God. Yes, it burns, but it burns on the inside. It's just like fire shut up in your bones. It burns on the inside to transform you and change you into what God wants you to be. Into his presence. into his presence. How do we do that? You enter his presence with thanksgiving, and you enter into his courts with praise, and you know that he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. I missed the last couple points. Y'all have to go with me on this one, all right? The last verse is what we call the crescendo. I learned that big word, crescendo. It means to reach the top. The last verse is reaching the top. There ought to be a top priority to your praise. He's given you the psalm. He showed you how to worship God. He showed you how to honor God. But then verse 5, he's going to tell you why. And do you not know what he starts off with? For the Lord is good. Look at it. The Lord is what? Is there anybody else good like God? Now, you got a whole lot of wannabes. You ask a young brother, how you doing? I'm good. And I started, and I said, no, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone. There's none good but God. Jesus said that. No one is good but God. You ought to be glad you got a good God. You got a God that may not give you everything you want, but he'll give you everything you need. God is so good, he could leave you a bill every day, like the water company does. People say water is free. Water ain't free. I pay for it. He could leave you a bill for the air that you breathe. He could leave you a bill for touching you when you felt bad. But God doesn't leave you a bill. He simply says, I'm going to bless you because I'm good. Do you know how good he is? He woke you up this morning, put food on your table. Even if you didn't want to eat it, you had it. That's how good he is. Went outside this morning. God blessed the sun to shine and for you to see it. That's how good he is. You got ready to go to church. You didn't move as fast as you thought you should, but you put your own clothes on. That's how good he is. Watch this. Gave you strength to move your legs. That's how good he is. But I'll tell you something else. Save my soul. Fill me with the spirit. That's how good he is. Ain't he good? Now, I know this was not there in the original Hebrew language when they wrote it. I know it wasn't there. I know it wasn't there when they interpreted and put it in the Latin Vulgate. But I know it wasn't there. But there's a semicolon behind it. God could have put a period there and not explained it. But what he's doing, he's explaining why he's good. It says his mercy. Mercy is everlasting. Now, I don't know about you. Yesterday, his mercy was good. But when I got up this morning, God had brand new mercy. He has mercy. That's how good he is. That's how good he is. But then it didn't stop there. When we interpreted, when we wrote it down and put it in the King James Bible, they put another comma to it because they wanted the mercy to keep on going on. And so they said, his truth. Now the goodness was good enough. The mercy was great. But his truth. Can I just break this down for y'all just a little bit? You will never wake up any morning and find anything wrong with God. because he's true, he is good, and he's merciful. Now let me ask you a question before I go to my sleep. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who wouldn't praise a God like that? If he's good, if he's merciful, if he's kind, if he's truthful, why won't you praise him? Why can't you praise him? But I tell you what, I'm gonna praise him. I'm finished. I'm finished. Sister Ray, I sing because I'm happy. Loretta, I sing because I'm free. Miss Cabla, his eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches. I know he watches. I know he watches over me. You ought to sing, and come Thursday morning when you get up and you know that it's Thanksgiving Day, you're going to say, Lord, I thank you yesterday, but today I'm really going to thank you. I'm really going to praise you because you are good. That's what God is. That's who he is. And he wants you to honor him. Father, we bless you. We thank you for all that you've done. All that you mean to us. Our little words can't even put into a vocabulary how many wonderful things you've done. Lord, you are just that good. We just want to say thank you. We just want to honor you and praise you. That's our happy song. And thank you that we answered the invitation and gave you praise and thanks today. Through Jesus, our Lord. Through Jesus, our Lord. Through Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I want to give the invitation if there's one today. If you've never met him, but you want to meet him, you can do that. I ask everyone to stand. Church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will.